Welcome to the Broken Pencil Booking Company Pro Wrestling Podcast and Radio Show infused with hip hop. I am Wood.
Made daily. With organic, farm to table, localized, neuralized, sterilized, available on Amazon, shipped worldwide, not available on Sundays, but now available on thebeastradio.com. Broken Pencil Logic. You stay classy, internet. I'm Suave Burgundy.
Happy 2021 to you, Suave.
Offtheglass.com.
That's the new website. we need to go ahead and get that, man.
For real though. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
we throwing oops all 2021.
Rest in piss to 2020.
Man, please. and don't call me. Lose my number.
Keep all that energy over on that side of things.
WYBA.
Hey, normally, you know, we have music starting in the background, but it's only right, man. Hold up. Let me get this ready.
Yo, 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 yo. Pop a 40 and check your rollies. It's crime time.
Live in effect today.
Yes, sir.
On the Broken Pencil Booking Company, Pro Wrestling Podcast, and Radio and Show Infused with Hip Hop, we have Brooklyn Zone, Crime Time Zone, JTG with us. JTG, what up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Man, we appreciate you hopping on with us, man. You don't know this, but you are easily the most important person to this podcast, because usually when we do show prep, the first thing we do, we crack the mic when we're away from each other, is we say, yo, 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 every time, without fail.
Dead serious. It's the first thing that comes out that any of us see each other. Yo, yo, yo.
There's no 1-2-1-2, no what up, dog, none of that. It's yo, yo, yo every time.
That's how we mic check.
That's the first thing I do when I hit the ring. What I used to do when I used to hit the ring.
Yeah.
So give me the mic, and sometimes I don't even say it. The crowd says it for me.
So sometimes you just got to say less.
That part.
So, yep. So what you mean used to hit the ring? Are you done? Is like, cause we haven't seen you in a while, and we got plenty of stuff to talk about. But like, so have like, is it a wrap? Are we about to see you back in the ring again soon? Like, what's the deal?
Oh, absolutely not. I'm still in the wrestling game. I'm singles now because of the passing of my tag team partner. So you know that used to be my old shtick with the Crime Time, you know, the yo yo yo. Now that I'm a singles competitor now and I'm up in the ranks, you know, I say less.
indeed.
Yeah, I mean, but you had a hell of a run. No, and not to gloss over that at all. Rest in peace to Shad Gaspar, great man, and we lost him doing something great. So I mean, it's a hell of a legacy to leave behind.
True definition of a hero.
You had a singles career, pretty solid in the E, you know, prior to you your departure. So probably what, for 4 years you were by yourself?
About 3-4 years, yeah, correct.
Yeah. So yeah. And I know that was hard enough as it was for you. So like, how did the wrestling even start for you? Like, where did it begin? Was it like, is it a childhood thing? Did somebody just walk up to you and tell you to hop in the gym? Like, how did it start for you?
Well, both my parents were wrestling fans, and then it was only natural for me to become a wrestling fan at the early age of like probably 2 years old. I can remember being 2 years old, beating up my sister's Cabbage Patch doll. And then from there, you know, my mom just kept taking me to wrestling shows at Madison Square Garden every month. You know, she ordered the pay-per-views. She was really into it, so I had somebody to bond. That's how me and my mom bonded. After high school, you know, it was a time to make a decision. Like, what are you doing? You go to the army, the military, you don't want to play any sports. Are you going to be, my mom wanted me to be a correction officer. Are you going to go into college? Like, what's the deal? And I kept it in. Like, I didn't want to tell anybody I want to be a professional wrestler because, you know, in the hood, you get laughed at. Like, what?
We get laughed at as grown men right now having a pro wrestling podcast. So, yeah, we understand.
You know what I'm saying? So I was like, yo, so what college are you going to? Like, oh, I'm going to be a professional wrestler. You sound kind of weird. So I kind of didn't say it. And then, you know, I just came out and was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to be a professional wrestler. And, you know, some of my friends supported me, and my mom, you know, she was kind of like, you sure you don't want to go to a community college first? Get like 2 years. And, you know, then pursue, like, nope, I know what I want. I'm just going to go straight for it. And I started the first time I got into a professional wrestling ring started training was on my 18th birthday. And then at the age of 21, I got signed when I was in Louisville, Kentucky, at a developmental wrestling school called OVW.
OVW.
Yes, sir.
And is that where you met Shad at? Was it OVW?
Yeah, I met Shad at OVW. I'm pretty sure we bumped into each other sometime when we were Brooklyn growing up, but because we live so close to each other. But it's funny that I didn't meet him until I got to OVW.
That's crazy. For real. That's divine intervention, like it was. So walk me through OVW. So how was that like for you on the come up in OVW? You know, you finally, you know, bump into Shad, and then, you know, of course y'all are training separately, of course, and then you guys become a tag team. So like, what was that progression like for you guys?
For me, when I got there, you know, I had to go through the ranks. I had to go through the amateur class. I had to go through the intermediate class, and I had to pay to train with the contract talent, which Shad was in. He was in. He had a contract. And then when I paid to be in the contract class, that's when I had more of an opportunity to be seen by the WWE, like people in the office. Because if you train with them with the contract talent, you know, they have to. They're going to see you as well, and that's what I wanted. And I think Shad had just finished up a storyline with CM Punk. He was wrestling CM Punk for his OVW heavyweight title, and that ran its course. And they were like, "What are we gonna do with Shad now?" And then we have this young man here, JTG. He's by himself. I wasn't a tag team, and then my tag team partner had some personal issues. He had to take some time off, and I was there by myself. And they were like, "He's charismatic. He's got the look. He's got a good attitude. He's good in the ring. You know, let's pair him up with Shad." And me and Shad, you know, we already had a great relationship outside of wrestling. And then they put us together. We just started having fun together on screen, and we had great on screen chemistry. And that's what Vince saw when he saw the first time he saw me on TV. He's like, "Oh, I like these guys. They have great TV chemistry. I want them on my television show." I got signed.
The charisma thing is what gravitates usually me and Suave, you know, towards certain characters, and mm-hmm. having a hip hop element to you, like, it's, sometimes it seems gratuitous, but we knew off the top when we first saw you guys on mainstream television that it was authentic. Like, people can argue about the South having grills, but we can go back to 93 with Raekwon, and he had a grill, RZA had a grill, yeah. And you had, your grill was iced. Out.
Thanks.
y'all had the Tims, the baggy jeans. I mean, that was everything we was representing. Like, we were at the tail end of the baggy jean Timberland era, but at the same time, like, now even as grown ups, like, we got to have at least one pair in our stash, because like you got to stay grounded, stay your roots. Yeah. So fast forward. Suave and I were talking about like different angles, because we always like the fantasy book, all types of the other things. And we caught wind that you guys were involved heavily in this stolen belt angle for Chris Jericho. Is that true for AEW?
Oh no, we did that on our own on social media.
Okay. Even better, it's organic.
Yeah, when the belt went missing, I think the fan had mentioned, did Crime Time take it? You know, that's their way of transitioning into AEW. And I was like, "Oh, that'll probably be a good idea. You know, the belt is missing, and that is our gimmick." So I just got some photos, and I did some, you know, Photoshop. Use my Photoshop.
Okay.
Fire.
I just played along with it, yeah.
That is really dope. Like, so how would you think, or how would you feel social media might play into a situation where furthering a storyline, like say you're back on national television and you're trying to further a storyline, and we know that a lot of wrestling fans get content from different places. How important can that be, using social media to further a storyline?
I think social media should be used in 80% of the storylines. I think that's more intriguing. And it comes across more organic and more natural. I remember when Crime Time worked, what do you call it? Miz and Morrison. We both had internet shows. We had Word Up,
right?
And they had the Dirt Sheet. And you know, it's only natural for us to compare ratings with the show. 1 week we'll be higher, 1 week they'll be higher. And then Brooklyn Brawler was the producer. He would be the ones recording it, and he would be egging us on. You know, the dirt sheet, y'all got to step it up. You know, dirt sheet, they got the higher ratings last week. They heard that you had a, and he would just egg it on. And then the office found out about it, and then they put us in a storyline. You know, it went from the internet show, and then it spilled out into the ring, and we had a great storyline with them. We did rap battles, and they did video music shoots, and it got out of hand, but we had a lot of fun working with them.
I see.
And it started on the internet.
That's really dope. So you say you were signed at 21. How long from the time you got signed until you made your debut on television?
It wasn't that long at all. I got signed the summer of 2006. I believe it was June, and Shad and I made our debut in 2006 in October.
That's crazy.
So I got signed in the summer, and we debuted in the fall.
I did not realize you were 21 on TV.
Yeah, as of right now, I'm still the youngest African American to be on the to be signed and on the Raw roster.
That is our Black History Month fun fact. Dead serious, like that's crazy. So for you and Shad, when you guys were doing it, how was the creative process as far as writers in WWE, as far as working or getting input from Vince? Like how did you guys handle that, and how did you receive it?
So when we first got there, we had a lot of creative liberty because we were authentic. You know, right. we were the real deal. You know, the only thing they had to tell us was they couldn't write for us because they will go to the Urban Dictionary and start tossing out these words like, what? You don't say that, and that's not how you use it. It was out of context. So like, you know, just tell us what you want us to do. What's the we'll get the point across. You know, they wanted to use stuff like that was outdated, like mollywop. Yeah, you mollywopped them. I'm like, no, we're not saying that. We're gonna change the verbiage up.
Yeah,
and there was times where they didn't know our character too much. You know, they would tell us, remember one time the cameraman was like, yo, Vince hates it when talent looks into the camera. And I would look into the camera when when I came down the aisle.
You were notorious for that, man.
breaking the fourth wall.
Oh, man, you were notorious.
Yeah, because I would look into the camera to show off my grill, to show off my chain, because that's what they did in the music videos. You know, right. They get all up in the camera, show their teeth. And so I went up to Vince and was like, the cameraman told me not to look into the into the lens anymore because, you know, he said that you hated it. Like, yeah, I don't want talent to look, you know, won't you focus? I'm like, oh, well, I do it because, you know, that's what they do on music videos. Now, this video, they look at it. He's like, oh, yeah, you know what? Keep doing it. I'll talk to the cameraman. I like that. I like that you took initiative. Vince loves when you take initiative right. And you're not afraid of him and you come to him like a man and explain. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I felt like that was kind of a theory of ours. Like, it doesn't necessarily seem like all of the writers know how to convey the aspect of an urban character, because we've already kind of heard that back and forth about New Day. They write their own stuff because they know how to present it.
Yeah. Especially when I started, there weren't any black writers. Yeah.
I'm not totally convinced there are any now, but that's a different
at least any with any quote unquote urban backgrounds. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's definitely very cool that you were able to implement certain things and the communication with Vince, because like we hear different stories, but you know it's all tongue in cheek. You don't necessarily know what to believe, how much is true, how much isn't. But you've dealt with him on, you know, an absolute face to face basis, so that's really cool to get that insight. That, you know, if you can give him a reason as to why you're doing it, then it's easier to get it approved.
Yeah.
So who was your travel buddies with? I know you and Shad always travel together, but like, did you guys ever pick up any like stray travelers on the road?
Oh man, we traveled for a long time. We traveled with Rest His Soul as well. Umaga,
yeah,
he took us under his wing. We traveled with the world's greatest tag team, and Umaga's manager.
Armando Alejandro Estrada.
we all chip in and get like a big van, and we all take turns driving and go to the same hotel, book everything at the same location. Yeah, it just made life easier.
That's super
traveling
cool.
Like that.
So were you the kind of guys that you would ride and tell stories, or did you guys listen to music while driving?
Both. Just depends on the trip. We'll do a lot of roasting. There'll be a lot of storytelling. There's some music. There'll be some music playing. Yeah, it was an interesting ride riding with wrestlers.
Well, y'all sound like y'all travel like rappers, and I'm totally well versed in that part. So if JTG's driving, what's on the radio?
Well, I wouldn't play my playlist because I have a whole wild assortment of music that I don't want nobody to know about. So.
Oh, no. Please, let us hear that.
Backstreet Boys might pop on. And I don't want nobody looking at me sideways. Like, well, what's wrong with Backstreet Boys? You know what I'm saying? I don't.
Yeah, well, as long as you don't start doing the dances, like, we cool with you.
I mean, hey, you gotta provide the soundtrack to your mood. So, I mean, let us know what's on the playlist.
You know what I'm saying? What was going on back then? I liked a lot of oldies, like my iPod. Like that's when iPods came. I was still new on the scene. I had a lot of oldies, like soundtracks from the Karate Kid. Like I'll play Cruel Summer. Like that was like I just like jamming out to old 80s oldies music. Yeah, okay. Sometimes 50s. I didn't want to listen to the music I could hear put on the radio and hear that. I wanted to hear stuff from way back.
That's a common thing amongst wrestlers. We talked to Stevie Ray a little over a year ago, and he was saying the same thing, like almost to the point of where he took offense to us asking him what's on his playlist or what he's playing.
I mean,
it was almost like he felt attacked because we asked him, like, you know, you driving, like, what's on the playlist? Like, I mean, you gotta know who I am to know what I listen to. Like we trying to figure that out.
I ain't gonna pigeonhole you. If you listen to Parliament, okay, cool. But if you got some Metallica on there, then hey, we can
party
still
on. Yeah,
y'all ball in there too. You know, I like to throw on some little Crazy Train.
Yeah, see, there you go.
See,
but like nowadays, I listen to YouTube podcasts and YouTube videos. That's what I usually listen to right now. That's gotcha. What's on my playlist.
That's what's up.
Yeah, it's funny, like, cause I'm one of the owners for the BeastRadio.com, and all we do is play like the hip hop that people never get to hear, but always talk about as missing. So, like, when someone says hip hop is dead, that dead hip hop people are talking about, that's what we provide. So, like, there's no excuse, cause like we're giving people an outlet. And it's like, how can you say it's dead when you're just looking in the wrong places? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So. And not just saying that to toot the old horn or nothing like that, but people can't say that nothing is available when everything is right there at their fingertips and we're giving it to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I got a hold of you through a mutual friend of ours. Shouts out to PS the Rebels, my guy Pion. I've been knowing Pion since I've been in Texas, which has been since 2008. And yeah, the running joke. I used to DJ for them back before they moved out to California. And the running joke with me with them was every time I see them the only dudes that stay the same age and still keep growing. Is every time I see them, they look like they're an inch or two taller. Hold on 1 second. Give me 1 second. Yo, that's low.
I love flying plane.
That's a helicopter, bro. That's out there.
Are we under siege?
Oh, is it beginning?
Are we under siege?
I mean, we're 2 hours from Killeen, so that could be anything. And, okay. And there's two military installations within this area, within like 20 miles from my house.
Well, 50 say get the strap.
Get the strap.
I know a lot of things supposed to be going down tomorrow because of the inauguration, so it might be a day early. I don't know.
Yeah, let's hope not.
Look, I'm gonna be in the house all day, just feet kicked up, like, oh, that's what y'all on.
Yeah, I gotta be at work, and there's TVs up there. I gotta tell them, do not turn it on any news channel, nor turn on any local channels. We can keep it on ESPN, or we can keep it on HGTV. We can learn how to build a house together and cook some stuff.
You don't have to do HGTV because ESPN wasn't even safe the last time.
That's a fact.
At all.
What was I saying before that?
You were talking about Pion. Have you seen Pion lately?
Man, the last time I ran into Pion was actually in Atlanta back in 2015. I was out there for A3C.
Okay.
And I mean, like, we rap on Facebook all the time, but as far as me actually seeing him face to face, I went out to A3C to support some friends of mine, and then I ran into I was at a workshop and ran into a bunch of cats I know from the Dallas music scene, and Samuel and Pion were both out there, and them dudes, man, I swear they look like a tag team. They both about 6'6", 6'7", about 220 pounds, solid.
Yeah, he put some size on Pie on. He been training with me.
Yeah. That's how you came up. He was like, you know, I'm in this book with JTG. I'm like, book with JTG? Like, so let's talk about the fitness book. What's happening with this?
Oh, that's doing well, man. Because my thing was, every time I get complimented or a lot of men start asking me questions, like, you know, like about my beard or about my arm, the size of my arms, I have to break it down. And like, you know what? I'm a make a product for my beard, for my biceps. I'm gonna make a fitness ebook. So I came up with a 6-week program. Same thing I put Pion on, and about different strategies and techniques on, you know, how to get the maximum results exercising to get your arms bigger. And is, you know, when I go to the gym, I always see the guys at the gym, they're doing the same regular curls, the same routine, you know. And then I've been working out for 18 years, so I know what works and what doesn't work. And when I put Pie on, he's like, I never seen anybody like work out like this before, like, what is this called? And then, you know, he said, he actually encouraged me to write to make the book.
Wow.
So I made the book, and it's doing great right now. And a lot of people contact me back like, damn, this is like unique strategies. You know, a lot of people, all I knew was know how to curl, you know, and people didn't know about different like positive and negatives, like the eccentric, you know, holding the weight and slowly going down, you know, making those muscles contract and then yanking it back up and doing the same thing over and over again. And then you got pyramid sets. We got there's so many techniques, like my mind is getting flooded with with so many ways to grow your arms. And that's how I got my 23 inch arms, biceps.
Yeah. Okay. Young.
I'm playing. I was at 21 inches.
Young, good try, Terry over here.
Say your prayers, eat your vitamins, wear your Tims.
Wear your Tims. There you go.
Yeah, that's definitely a good look.
So, where can people get the book at, man?
It's on Amazon. The book is called The Newbie's Guide to Big Biceps.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's the 6-week program, and it's so easy. That's the subtitle of it, a child could follow. There's video links after every workout, so you could, just in case you need instructions on form and how the workout looks or what machine to look, there's a video link right there for you to click on, and you're like, oh, okay, I could do that. And then you go bang up those reps and sets.
That's what's up.
So do you see more fitness books in your future, or do you see more like the autobiography or self-help route going forward? Because typically people don't just do one. They usually do more than one. And
this is
it
my
goes,
third book. This is my third book.
See? look,
now we got to move to the digital platform, and we get him on YouTube doing the workout tutorials.
I wrote two books. From WWE in 2014, I wrote a book called Damn, Why Did I Write This Book? And then the second one, I had no plans on writing a second one, but since the first one did so well, the name of the next book was called Damn, Why Did I Write This Book Too? And both of those did great. Both of those were Amazon bestsellers. And everybody wanted a third one, but like, I forgot a lot of stories.
I mean, what honestly, and this is just off the top. If you have like your phone with you, just use the voice memo recorder, and anytime you think of a story, just tell the story to your phone, and you can use that as leverage for anything that you do going forward for a book wise, or even if you do something like just straight audio, you could do like, you know, audio memoirs or something like that. Just tell it to your phone, because at least that way it's out there in the event that you don't remember later on.
I wrote the first and second book. I'll be in the gym. And whenever I sat down to like, okay, I'm going to write, nothing came. The ideas will come. I'll be in the gym in the middle of a workout. Oh, yeah, I remember that. And I'll stop whatever I'm doing and just jot it down real quick. And I wrote most of my book in my phone, in my notes.
That's how it goes nowadays.
Yeah, everybody doing their albums on their phone. Might as well make some money on the literary side doing it.
Exactly.
So you guys used to travel real heavy, do the whole van thing. Who is the best driver, and who is the worst driver you've ever ridden with?
On the road?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let me see. That's a good one. Worst driver. I probably have to give it to Shad. Shad was a very aggressive driver. Like, he took it personal. Somebody cut him off. Like, bro, he doesn't know you. You're just a car to him. He's like, why do you feel the need to race and cut him back? It's like, it's not that serious. But yeah,
he had that Michael Jordan Last Dance vibe about him. Like, I took it personal.
Oh, you think you're going to outshine me? Nah.
So then, adversely, who's the best driver?
I got to say myself. You know, safety first. You know, I make sure. I might get us there late, but we going to get there.
10-2, cruise control, 1 mile below the speed limit. Hello, Mr. Officer.
Take your mirror for me? All right, good. I can see that. Every angle. Okay, we good. Yeah.
The irony that one half of crime time is one of like the safest drivers. So if you're one, who's 1A? Who's the best driver if you're not behind the wheel?
I rode with Kofi before, and he's also the same way. Safety first, you know.
Okay. I can definitely see that, too.
I don't know. I roll with some guidance, man. I don't trust him behind the wheel. Shouts out to my guy, Curtis. He knows full well I'm talking about him, too. He's a pencil pusher.
Straight profiling. That is totally unnecessary.
If you ride with Curtis, you'd understand this whole statement. Straight up.
So, for people who may not have seen you since you've been wrestling indies and just away from WWE, how much has your in-ring style as well as your presentation changed?
Oh, I switched up my whole swag a lot. You know, right? Like, I even did a name change. Like, my name is still JTG, but it stands for Jay the God now.
Okay.
And you know, people, you know, if I was ever make a WWE return, you know, people are not going to recognize me. You know, I cut the braids off. I grew a badass beard out. I put on some muscle. And I'm rocking the trunks now. You know, people, I've been known for my signature look with the sagging jeans and the Tims. But right now, I wanted to fit the... you know, the championship mold of how a wrestler should look.
Truth be told, I always thought JTG stood for Jay the God. So is that?
Yeah, I went through different metamorphoses of my name, different tragedies of my name. First, it started off with just too good.
Okay,
then just like too gangster.
Okay,
just too gangster. And now I was Jay the God. Yeah.
I like all those. And jump that guy.
Yeah, man. So we found out earlier you're going to be in the area, in the DFW area sometime soon. Like VIP, that's Lou, isn't it? Lou Williams?
Yep, that's Lou. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm the champion. I'm the VIP heavyweight champions, and I'll be working Alex Hammerstone January 29th.
Wow.
Man, so that's major. If you're in the Dallas area, you definitely want to, it's a stacked card, but that night I plan on definitely stealing the show. Per usual, so I got a good opponent.
You're gonna leave a little sore though. Hammerstone be bringing the pain.
Yeah, yes he does. I got my massage therapist ready on the 30th, so we good. I'm ready.
Perfect. Yeah, so yeah, plug the show, plug the book, plug everything right now. This would be a perfect time to plug everything you
plug
got.
Plug everything, folks. Well, I don't know if you guys can see the beard right now, but the beard is pretty. It's pretty badass.
I have my own beard care company,
Beard and Body.
Wait, huh? Hold on. You just dropped out. Hold on. Let me kill this video real quick. Okay, go ahead. Do it now.
Yeah, I said. I don't know if you can see this badass beard right now, but I have my own Beard and Body Care company called Sexy as Hell Beard and Body Care. It's a black seed oil infused beard butter and beard oil. That's what helps my beard grow and keeps it full thick. Keeps the skin underneath my beard in great condition, and yeah, and I also have the matching scents to go with the shea butter that my body spray and body oils and body butter. So yeah, you make sure you're smelling good from beard to toe with Sexy as Hell Beard and Body Care.
That's what's up.
Okay,
hey, where can we get that? Because you know we beard gang, me and you is we
okay okay.
Like
you
that.
Go to shbeardcare.com.
SAHbeardcare.com.
SAHbeardcare.com. Sexy as hell beardcare.com.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to get into that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, and then.
Get you some of that.
Plug the books. We got Why Did I Write This Book? Why Did I Write This Book? And then Why Did I Write This Book 2?
Yeah, those are about my stories on the road and, you know, telling stories behind the scenes of wrestling. It's, you know, pulling that veil back, you know, giving you guys a little wrestling fans a look behind the curtain. Of the wrestling world, the backstage stuff, our lingo, and talking about heat You know, that's a big thing in the wrestling industry. Nobody wants to get heat.
Right.
And me and your dad got a lot of heat when we first got to the WWE. So we talk about those instances and how you could learn from my mistakes and avoid heat as much as possible.
Okay, tell us one story where you caught some heat that you can tell.
That I can tell.
Yeah.
Also, it was my debut match in Los Angeles at the Staples Center. Everything went great. Had a great match. Had a great backstage segment with Booker T and Charmel. And I was on cloud nine. He's like, you couldn't plan a perfect debut. You know, I'm in LA. Vince is giving me the thumbs up. Everybody's loving our gimmick. And then I'm standing there watching the rest of the show at the monitor. And then a Hall of Famer, if you want to know who the Hall of Famer is, you're going to have to get the book.
Absolutely.
Comes up to me and he starts yelling at me at the top of his lungs, like, because we had a conversation prior to that saying that I was infringing on his gimmick. You know, he has his own similar hand gesture, and he was accusing me of stealing his hand gesture. Was I doing his hand gesture? Absolutely not. I just think he just saw opportunity.
Why do we know who this person is already? Dear Lord.
Look, all I ask is that when I order all my books, that you sign them before they get in the mail.
Straight up.
Yeah. So my day went from the best day of my life to like, oh my gosh, the guy who I used to dance to his music to in my underwear is now yelling at me.
I don't know.
It's all about perception, how you take it. Like, oh, this Hall of Famer is yelling at me. I must mean, or you can just take it as, shit, I don't know how long I'm going to be here because I just pissed him off.
The grand opening, grand closing.
Hey, that's crazy.
What would you consider to be like the highlight of your career, like so like period, like even like right now, what would you consider to be like the high point, like it could get no better than this right now?
One of my highlights was when Shad and I we worked Chris Jericho and Big Show at the Staples Center at SummerSlam, one of the main pay-per-views of the year. You know, right. We have WrestleMania and then there's SummerSlam. That's like the biggest events of the summer. And we were on the card. That alone was just like mind-blowing to me. And it was for the tag team titles. You know, we didn't win, but the fact that, you know, we stepped up to the plate and we actually made people believe that we were going to win the titles that night. You know, that means a lot. Because sometimes you could put a tag team in a match, with maybe use Big Show and Chris Jericho for an example, and it's like, oh, they're gonna win. This is just a filler match. No, we actually have people believing on the edge of their seat. Like, okay, is Crime Time gonna get it this time? Are we gonna get it this time? And then, no, you disappointed them.
Yeah, I mean, you guys for a main event tag team, and you guys never won the championships, did you?
Yeah, we never won the tag team title. We stole them a couple of times. Yeah, we never won them. Yeah,
yeah, and most people can't even like fathom to believe that as much TV time as you guys had. In fact, you guys were in so many main event storylines that you never won the tag team championships. You guys are easily the best to never do it in terms of tag teams.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that. We were supposed to win on like three occasions that I know of, and then I remember one time we spoke to a writer and he was like, we never really need to put the titles on you guys. You know, you guys are already over. And it's like, what? And then it's saying the title is to give the tag team some credibility. You guys already have credibility. I don't need a tag team title. So, all right, you guys are good. And it's like, then we just got Jedi mind trick just there.
Absolutely. Because I've been like, look, we missed an opportunity for some extra merch.
Like, exactly.
Like my pants are sagging. I need a belt to hold them up. You know what I'm saying?
You feel me?
My pants are sagging. I need a belt. Exactly.
Yeah, man, see that's high level creative. That's what you just did right there.
Broken pencil logic is what that is. That's fantastic. All
right, you got to give everybody your socials. Where can everybody follow JTG and keep up with what's going on right now?
Oh man, you can find me on Twitter at JTG1284. You can find me on Instagram at JTG121084. But as soon as you pop in JTG, you should see the blue check mark. That's me. And you can catch up with me and find out what city I'm going to be in from February to April, May to June. I got a pretty packed schedule wrestling show. So yeah, I might be in your town. Come holler at your boy. Also, well, if you want a badass beard with the matching beard with the matching body set and body spray, go to shbeardcare.com. And if you want big ass biceps, you go to Amazon and go to the new look for the Newbie's Guide to Big Biceps.
Price just went up. Price just went up.
Straight like that.
Well, JTG, man, we appreciate you hopping on the Broken Pencil Booking Company. Man, you're welcome here anytime. If you got anything you want to plug, whenever you come to the city, make sure you reach out to us, man. We're more than welcome to come out and take care of you. And hey, matter of fact, if you need some DJs to escort you to the ring, you know what I'm saying? Like, we do that too.
Yeah, we put the work in.
I'll holler at Lou. We'll holler at Lou. Okay.
Word up, man. Well, we appreciate you, man, and I will definitely be ordering those books, especially the ebook, man. I got to get back in shape, man. Round is not my shape right now. I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, we got a few more months till summer, so you got some time.
Yeah, no doubt. Not like we're going anywhere. We about to be on punishment again.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I think it's over for us right now, man. We don't know how to act, especially in Texas. We really don't know how to act down here.
Bro, it's rough.
Yeah, you guys in Atlanta just wilding.
Oh yeah, Atlanta. Yeah.
Hey, Atlanta's being real stupid right now, man.
Atlanta didn't get the memo.
I went to Atlanta last summer, literally for one day. I was there for the blackout just to eat and had to stand in line outside like that. I'm not going back anytime soon. They can have all that. Meanwhile, Dallas is looking like baby Atlanta. Even though Dallas is bigger, it's looking like baby Atlanta right now. So be careful when you get down here, man. You never know who got the itch when you get here.
Oh, man. All right. I definitely will be careful.
All right, man. You take it easy, man. Enjoy the rest of your day, man. And stay safe tomorrow, especially during the inauguration, man. People out here being real stupid right now.
Yeah, you too, man. Thanks for everything. Thanks for having me on the show.
We appreciate you, brother.
Have a good one.
You too, man.
Easily the greatest interview in Broken Pencil history.
And straight like that, Suave, like that. Take us to the house. I ain't plugging shit.
Pencil pushers, heads up, pencils down.